Hi, this is Luke.
And this is Tobin from Quest Research.
Hey, Tobin, what do you get when four guys with absolutely no video experience whatsoever decide to produce their own online paranormal TV show?
I don't know. What? Oh, wait. I do know. Ghost Diaries, right?
That's right.
You can check us out and get involved at www.questresearch.net. And the good thing about being new is that you will only get better.
Start making plans now to join us for the paranormal event of 2007.
The Halloween Spooktacular, October 27th at the Haunted Lincoln Theater in Decatur, Illinois.
Hosted by Troy Taylor, author of 50 of the best-known books on haunted history, not to mention the Ghost Hunter's Guidebook.
Meet the rock and roll ghost hunter Keith Dage from Sci-Fi Channel Spooked and Del Kazmarek, president of the renowned Ghost Research Society.
Join in the discussion with Rosemary Ellen Guiley and psychic detective Ken Berg.
Meet Becky Ray and Laura Moon, host of Darker Side of the Moon Radio. And, of course, there's us.
The Ghost Man and Demon Hunter, live from the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
If that's not enough, folks, there's a free tour of the Greenwood Cemetery and a big screen viewing of the 1932 classic movie, The Old Dark House.
There's even a haunted Decatur tour and a late-night hunt of the Lincoln Theater itself, sold on a first-come, first-served basis.
Seating is limited, folks. Make reservations now at www.prairieghost.com/halloween.html or by calling 888-446-7859. Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express accepted.
It's not just spooky.
It's spooktacular!
One of the largest and most influential paranormal conferences in the country, UNIFCON, is coming for the largest and most spectacular event to date. UNIFCON offers a trademark variety of events, including academic workshops, committees, entertainment, ghost hunts, debates, and even social outings. It is more than a conference, it is a cultural event to celebrate the paranormal, its pioneers, investigators, and the attendees. Thousands have attended UNIFCON in the past, and every year the numbers grow. UNIFCON is still the only major paranormal conference held at a university. UNIFCON holds that university mentality of continuing education, research, and a safe environment to present new ideas. It's a place to learn and discuss paranormal investigation methods, psychology and the paranormal, demonology, ethics, and more. Every conference takes place at University Park, Pennsylvania, home of Penn State University. This year, be a part of history. Join us this year, October 18th to the 21st, 2007, for UNIFCON 6, the greatest show on earth. For ticket information, visit www.unifcon.org. That's www.unifcon.org.
Happy Halloween.
That sounds like me.
Oh. Exactly. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Bonnie.
And I'm Keith.
Keith is hiding in the background. Where are you at, Keith? Hello.
I'm under the table.
Talking to that microphone, brother.
I'm under the table.
A ghostly encounter 31 years ago in an Arizona theater. Okay, this guy is still talking under me now.
You want me to do it?
Here, why don't you do it? Because I can't see on the screen now. I'm losing.
Okay. Are you going to? Okay. Oh, this is...
Sorry, Robert.
A ghostly encounter 31 years ago in an Arizona theater was the beginning of Robert Honeycutt's journey into the world of the ghosts and hauntings. A theater ghost challenged his notions of the existence of life after death and helped him to realize that science could not easily explain everything. For the past 18 years, Robert has investigated cases of phenomena associated with a wide variety of hauntings of private residences and businesses, historic locations and landmarks throughout the state of Georgia, the Southeast, as well as portions of the Midwest. These cases have included hauntings of paranormal, supernatural, and preternatural origins. His website is www.georgiaghostsociety.com. Welcome to Ghostly Talk, Robert.
Welcome, Robert. How are you doing tonight?
Doing great. How are you?
I don't know what's going on. You get some of those nights where, well, it's usually every night here on Ghostly Talk,
yeah,
where you're just kind of like, you're trying to make it happen, but then the font's too small on the computer to read, and then, you know.
It's called Murphy's Law. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, hi,
Murphy loves Ghostly Talk.
Well, we're glad to have you on. You're working on a project. I want to start with this. I think this is very cool, and I think Doug's back there. So, Doug, are you there still, or are you hiding, or what's going on? Doug? Your volume is, like, non-existent, man. We can barely...
Put me on mute and I'll listen.
All right, we'll put you on mute, all right?
Yeah, hi, Robert.
That is so sad.
Sorry about that, Robert. You're working on a project, though. Let's start with this. It's with Southland Films. It's a documentary dealing with Southern haunts. Obviously, when you say Southern haunts, that's like a huge term.
Oh, God,
right?
Yes.
So I'm wondering, hit us up. What's going on with this?
Well, now, this is something that we started Halloween night a year ago. We began in Dahlonega, Georgia, in Mount Hope Cemetery. And what we wanted to focus primarily were Southern haunts, locations throughout the South and Southeast that are known and have reported cases of ghostly activity. Most, especially in the past, a lot of the notoriety and attention has been focused on New England and California and other locations, and I honestly believe that Georgia, much less the South, has as much to offer to the paranormal community as any other region.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
If you look at the history of the South, and I primarily focus on Georgia for this conversation. If you look at the history of the being one of the original 13 colonies, then you have the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, and everything else in between. And I would say that There's not a town or a county in this state that doesn't boast at least one haunted location.
Well, it is Georgia. Savannah, yeah. Georgia.
Oh, yeah. That's on Doug's
that's
list
Doug's,
of
yeah.
favorite most haunted cities.
Well, we'll have to speak for Doug on that because he's on his headset, so he can't hear anything. But, yeah, that is one of his top three, you said, Bonnie? His
top four, I think.
Top four, yeah, favorite cities that he wants to go to someday. So that city alone, I think, puts you guys on the map for haunts right there. So, yeah. And according to you, there's a lot more.
Oh, yes. I mean, if you look at, first of all, I mentioned Dahlonega, Georgia, which is up in North Georgia. This was the location of the country's very first gold rush. So when you look at all of the greed and hard work and death and suffering that went along with this, you're naturally, that's a recipe right there for haunted.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go down to the coast, down to Savannah. Look at Atlanta during the Civil War, the burning of Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
and all of these other, you know, cities, you know, in between. And what's amazing is some of the locations that we've been to over the last 8 years have, before we went, nobody knew that they were haunted, except, of course, for the residents or the people that owned and managed them. One of my favorite locations is in a little town called Covington, Georgia, which is the Gator Plantation. We've been there at least 10 times over the last 3 years, and this is a location that has never disappointed me once. There's always something going on. It's always active.
Well, you said that it's a gator plantation, as in alligator plantation?
No. No, Gator, as in G-A-I-T-H-E-R. This was an original southern plantation where they, of course, unfortunately, had slaves that grew cotton.
Okay.
They still have one of the original slave cabins on the property.
Oh, wow.
And I think a lot of people have seen this. There was a movie filmed several years ago, Madea's Family Reunion.
Mm-hmm.
That was filmed at the Gator Plantation.
Oh, wow.
Really? I didn't know that.
I had no idea.
Yes.
Oh,
yes. So there's one portion of the movie where all of the family gathers around and they're ringing the bell and they're standing in front of the slave cabin, and that is actually probably about 100 yards from the main plantation house. And like I say, this is one of the locations that, as far as top 10 in the state, I have to rank this at least number one or number two, because every time we've been able to capture either something on photography, video, or audio. We've never been disappointed.
What have you captured or what have you experienced there?
Well, one of our last investigations that we conducted, upstairs in Cecilia Gator's bedroom, there's an old rocking chair next to an immense wooden bed. And, of course, we set up cameras in each room, and we set up a tech station downstairs where all of the information and data is fed to our computers.
Mm-hmm.
One person is always monitoring it, and unless we have a team actually active in the house, everyone is outside to cut down on the noise.
Mm-hmm.
And during my rotation at the tech station, we actually captured the rocking chair moving on its own, mm-hmm. and right before that, the bed being shoved. So we've got this captured on video. And it was really amazing. It was kind of like a kid in a candy store.
Hmm.
I bet.
It sounds like it. Have you guys ever seen it? I mean, that sounds like you've captured this on film. Am I correct?
Yes, we have this on video.
Now, as of late, it seems like I've been really interested in this more. I'm all about getting pictures and getting audio and stuff like that. But I've really been kind of focusing on the experiences themselves. So the things that you sometimes, or in most cases, you cannot record, they just happen to you, and you can only basically relay your story to people. Do you know of anybody that's had any actual, like, maybe some, you know, encounters there as far as maybe feeling something? Or
Oh, sure. I mean, we've had a couple of our team members. One instance was up in the old slave cabin to where they were actually physically touched. They felt something grab them on their shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, this happens in a lot of locations. These are things, that you're right, you cannot record. There's no way to, you know, document what's happened. And I always equate it to the fish story, the one that got away. But because I've had similar instances myself, I've come to realize that just because you don't actually have documentation or proof positive, I still give it some credence. We were at the Waverly Sanitarium in April, and myself and one other team member, while walking on the third floor, actually witnessed a full-bodied apparition. And we went chasing after it, went into the room. He went to the left, I went to the right, and of course there was no way for them to, if it had been a person, to an escape. But the first thing we did was look at each other and go, did you get a picture? Well, no.
Of course not.
That's
of
usually how
not.
It
we,
works.
We were too busy trying to run after it. But that gave me a good idea of knowing that when someone says they've experienced something, give them the benefit of the doubt unless they prove otherwise.
Right.
Well, you know, and I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to probably get bad email for it, but, you know, that's really what I've, and I know Doug, I can speak for Doug somewhat on this too. We're really kind of trying to experience things now. I don't really worry too much sometimes about walking into an area by myself now. Whereas, you know, we know that that's a big rule. That's a big rule you don't want to break when you're ghost hunting. You should always be on the buddy system. You know, and I understand the whole side of it where it is a safety factor. If you're in a place like Waverly Hills, for example, we were just there a couple months ourselves, too, Robert, and that place is, it's beat up.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're by yourself, yeah, you can get hurt. I totally understand that. But from a spiritual side or, you know, an investigative side, research side, I don't mind going by myself to places now. If I don't get a picture, I'm not going to be too upset about it.
Sure.
You know, it's more about the experience for me. It's about trying to actually feel something or hear something on my own. And, you know, if I don't have any proof, well, sorry, I'm not trying to have my own show on sci-fi.
Right.
And it's not so much that we're trying. We have never had a focus of trying to prove anything.
Mm-hmm.
I believe firsthand that there's something there. And when you have people call you, whether it's a private residence or historical location, they're simply trying to get some validation.
Right.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
All we try to do is go and capture or document as much as we can to help validate what they've been telling us.
Mm-hmm.
We don't go in under the pretense that we're going to prove that it is or is not haunted, because I've been doing this long enough to know that if nothing happens, it doesn't mean that it's not haunted.
Exactly.
It just means that that night they didn't want to come out and play.
Mm-hmm.
So the experience is a good bit of it. I've done this long enough now to where even if I'm not able to capture something, if I can witness it or feel it or experience it, I'm happy.
Well, yeah, that's exactly how I feel nowadays. I think when we all started in this field, however long any of us have been in this, I know when I first started out, it was all about getting the documentation, getting the evidence. Mm-hmm. We want to prove this thing. This is what our goal is. And it still is a goal, and I'm sure it's a goal for you also, Robert.
Sure.
But, I mean, nowadays it's more like, okay, look, I've done as much as I can as far as this. Now I want to try to take it to the next level now and really try to feel something, really try to get
exactly.
into something. And that's what it's all about to me now.
Exactly. And, I mean, there's nothing in the world like whether it's an EVP or a full-bodied apparition or you actually capture something moving on its own, that's a unique experience. And once you get to a point to where that's what you want is the experience, that's satisfying enough. You know, we're not necessarily anymore looking for the brass ring. I think there's enough proof to some degree where most people believe that something is going on.
Right.
And to those that are skeptics or non-believers, it's not my intent or duty to try to sway them otherwise.
Exactly, and I think we've gotten past that point, too. As far as people with a skeptical viewpoint, I know we've here at Ghostly Talk, we've always embraced people like that. We think they're just as important as people who are trying to find something, who believe something is going on. I think you have to have people there to keep you grounded also.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but the debating side of it where I've seen some pretty ugly debates.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, okay, I don't have the energy for that anymore. I'm an old guy now, so I can't do that.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing, too, it's important to remember. One of the things that we do automatically on an investigation, especially if it's our first time there, is we do have a little bit of skepticism. We don't take everyone's, explanation of what they've seen or witnessed at face value. We go in and try to eliminate what it could be and rule out the natural causes first.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And that's healthy. You need to have a certain amount of skepticism, but some people take it to extremes.
Well, and I think, too, that people have started using the word skepticism or skeptical in place of non-belief. Because mm-hmm. a lot of the people that are called skeptics, let's face it, they don't believe.
Yeah,
exactly.
I don't think if the ghost of Abraham Lincoln walked up to Joe Nichols, he would accept him. Let's face it, he's not a skeptic, he's a non-believer. Yeah. And a lot of these people that have their theories that there are other explanations, they're basing that already on their non-belief.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and it's selective perception then, too, I hate to say it. I'm not slamming skeptics in any way whatsoever. I just got done saying we embrace them. But I have talked to some people where I really think they've gotten into a case where it's selective perception, where, you know, they will perceive the things that they can actually put their arms around and say, I can explain that.
Right.
I can explain that.
Absolutely.
But the thing,
and what's funny, a funny story is when we first started filming the documentary, and the title is The Seekers Investigating Southern Haunts. We had a medical student that was going to school in Atlanta who is originally from Germany, and he was our team skeptic. And after the first three investigations, you could actually see a change in his attitude because some of the things that he experienced and witnessed, you know, actually changed his perception. That, you know, maybe there is something there after all. Maybe not in every instance, but some of them can be actual real haunts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think an open-minded person with a skeptical approach, I think that I think after all the people we've talked to, Robert, on this show, for example, that's the right way to do it. I think it's you know, an open-minded person with a skeptical approach is what, and that's obviously what you guys are doing, Robert. You're going to a place and you're going to do your best to explain this stuff. You're going to do your best to explain an earthly reason why whatever occurrence may have happened. And you're going to try as hard as you can with that. I know we try as hard as we can on our end here, too. But there comes to a certain point where it's like, look, with the knowledge that I have, I can't explain this.
Right.
I can't explain this. Maybe somebody with more knowledge can step up. You know, and that's where I've seen issues happen with people where, well, I can't explain this. Well, we got this person here with this PhD from MIT.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what they have to say. And hopefully they're objective, right? Maybe they can explain more than you. I mean, it just doesn't end with the paranormal team, the investigation team. I think you can take this as far up as you can. And I've seen a lot of people with their evidence do that. They've taken stuff to labs, you know, photographic labs and things like that to have it analyzed, right?
Sure.
Because, I mean, by no means am I a photographic expert. I'm far from it.
Right.
So, I mean,
and none of us are either. And if you're going to be, if you want to go on the journey, you're going to have to be willing to take the entire trip.
Yeah.
And that means looking at it from other, you know, angles and perspectives. I don't have a problem with anybody reviewing our video or photography. And in that instance, a lot of times, especially for the documentary, we send it off to a gentleman that works for CNN, and he has looked at it and verified that it has not been altered or you know, changed in any way.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that kind of helps your credibility that what you're doing is the real deal, and you're not just trying to throw something up there to titillate and excite everybody.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly, and I mean, we know that happens, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
Nature of the beast.
Yeah.
Nature of the beast, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You guys went to some other places. Is there any other places that you checked out that you wanted to bring up?
Well, good gracious. I mean, we've had so many places between the Gators. We also have done a couple of locations at Dahlonega, one of them being the old Hall House, which was the site of the original jail in Dahlonega. And during our initial investigation there, we captured what I have to say is probably one of the most exciting pieces of video I've seen in years. And it was shot when no one was in the basement. We had all gone upstairs to take a dinner break, but we left our equipment running,
mm-hmm.
and we actually captured an apparition walking up the stairs.
Hmm.
And we have actually had that analyzed and verified that it has not been changed or altered in any way. And it will be part of the documentary, so I can't wait for everyone to see it.
Wow.
I am looking forward to that, and I'm jealous, by the way, too.
Yeah, me too.
Very jealous.
Well, I tell you what we'll do, because we are looking, you know, what we like to do is work with other teams in and around these areas to give them a little, you know, moment in the spotlight to give their area and their work some notice. So if you have some locations, we'd be glad to work with you on something.
We could definitely work something like that out, Robert. That sounds phenomenal. I'd love to do
any
that.
Any excuse to get out ghost hunting.
Yeah, any excuse to get out of the state.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, that's going to be in our state. What's that?
Yeah. And I have to say that the producer and director of this project is named Ron McClellan. And this is probably the fifth or sixth such project that I've worked on over the years. And his willingness to sit back and listen to what we have to say has been a refreshing breath of air. He's not there to try to make anything up. You know, he's willing to sit and listen to what we have to say. And there have been times where we bumped heads a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But he's willing to realize that this is what we do, and the camera work and everything else is his. So it has been a great team to work with, and I've enjoyed it thoroughly.
And that's, you know, that's what you need in one of these things, I think, too. I mean, there's lots of these documentaries or productions being produced right now, and it's very difficult because we all know the TV shows, for example. We've talked about that a lot here on our show. We all know the TV shows. The people part of these shows have told me personally, they're like, man, you know, we captured so much interesting stuff, but we know for a fact, and the producers of these shows know, that it wouldn't be exciting, unfortunately, to the viewer, right? To a ghost hunter, it would be totally exciting.
Right.
Oh, yeah. and I think that's what we've tried to do here is whether we do capture anything during an investigation or not, we're trying to portray an accurate image of what we do, whether we capture anything or whether it's completely quiet, because I've done this long enough to know that if they don't want to come out and play, they're not going to.
Right.
But and I think you're right. To the ghost hunters and people that are really interested in the paranormal, it will be something worthwhile to watch.
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely. It sounds absolutely phenomenal. We only got a couple minutes here, unfortunately, Robert. I'm sorry. We really blew through this half an hour. But one thing that you wanted to mention also, and we could probably talk about this for a second or two, was there obviously, and we've talked about this 1,000 times in the show already,
mm-hmm.
is popularity of groups. I mean, there's a lot more groups out there than like 5 years ago. I think Amber Rose, my girlfriend, said, you know, and she's right, like 5 years ago in Michigan, there was like 5 ghost hunting groups, and now there's like 25 groups that are out there doing stuff, right? So there's a lot.
Yeah. And
go ahead.
There are new ones popping up every week, and it really excites me to see the popularity of the paranormal and ghosts and hauntings grow the way it has. What troubles me is that a lot of people are watching these shows and trying to mimic what they see. And I think they have a misconception that television and reality is the same thing. What really bothers me, though, is a lot of these new groups are trying to break out and investigate malevolent or demonic hauntings. Mm-hmm. And this is something that I am very adamant about. This isn't for everyone.
Right.
I had somebody ask me last year that if I knew then what I know now, would I have ever investigated my first one 10 years ago? And my answer was no. If I knew then what I know now, I would have stuck to the historical location. But well, there are a lot of people that are looking at this as the next level. Okay, I've done this. Now, to be recognized or considered legitimate, I have to go work these.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very dangerous way to look at things. You've got a lot of people that are giving themselves labels such as demonologist and the exorcist when they don't have the training or the experience. And a lot of people are being, you know, in this direction. They think that that's what they have to do or be considered, you know, legitimate. And that's not the case.
Just start up a podcast. You'll be fine. That's what we tell everybody. Start up your own radio show, and you'll get a lot. Well, that's good for us. So not very good ghost hunters. You're a far better ghost hunter than we'll ever be, Robert. I know for a fact
absolutely.
Already.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, Robert, we're at the bottom of the half an hour, though. I'm really sorry. Hang on the line, though, for 1 second, though, okay? Don't leave us just yet, all right?
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
No, thank you. GeorgiaGhostSociety.com. Phenomenal, Robert.
Yes, yes.
Really great to have Robert on the show. Go check out their website. Check out the documentary. So much going on there, and I'm really excited to check this out.
Yeah,
too.
I can't wait to see it now.
Really neat stuff. Why don't we take a quick break, though? Coming up after the break, though, we're going to be talking to a man that Doug met at the Ghost World Conference, who Doug insisted us having on the show. So, of course, in my godlike powers over the schedule, I said we can make that happen. So we did that. We're going to make that happen here. Yeah, exactly. Worship me like the Buddha. Very nice. So we're going to make that happen after the break here. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Bonnie.
Oh, I remember Keith.
We'll be right back after this.
The Darker Side of the Moon is a listener's guide to the creepy, the spooky, and the unexplained. The Darker Side is an alternative variety show that delves deep into the shadowy secrets of just about everything, from the occult to dark comedy. Sometimes serious, but mostly fun. Our show has a little for everyone. Join me, Becky Ray, and Laura Moon Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's 8 p.m. Central and 6 p.m. Pacific at DarkerSideRadio.com.
Interested in ghosts, UFOs? How about the occult? Are you psychic? Would you like to find out? Well, if you're intrigued by the world's curiosities and all that is paranormal, then Paralore.com is a place for you. Create your own profile, start a photo album, write a blog, or just hang out and watch countless hours worth of paranormal videos while chatting with other Paralore members. Who knows? You could win a prize or two if you're quick and brave enough. It's all here, and it's all free. Visit www.paralore.com and join today. Again, membership is free, and we know you won't be disappointed.
Paralore.com. Unlock your mind.
Yeah. Hey, Scott L. I just want to thank you for this sweet Ghostly Talk t-shirt, man. When I put it on, women just start coming at me from all directions.
Well, no problem, dude.
Oh, yeah, and check this out. I had this rash on my chest for like 3 months, right? The first time I wore this Ghostly Talk t-shirt for the day, I took it off before bed and the rash was gone.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I also wore it to that job interview I had last week, and not only did I get the job, but the boss liked it so much, he made me his partner.
Huh?
Yeah, and I'm now a millionaire because of your Ghostly Talk t-shirts.
Well, you know, we not only have new t-shirts for 2007, but Ghostly Talk also has a brand new line of bumper stickers and 1 1/4-inch buttons.
You're kidding!
No, sir. You can check them out and also find out how to order them at ghostlytalk.com.
I must go and order all of them now!
Whoa, hold on. Save some for the rest of the listeners. As you can see, Ghostly Talk swag is going fast, so head on over to ghostlytalk.com and check it out. T-shirts, bumper stickers, and 1 1/4-inch buttons, all for a very cheap price. Order yours today. I don't know if I'm ever going to get used to that.
Makes me feel sleepy.
I dig it.
You digging it?
I dig it.
Happy Halloween from Ghostly Talk.
I love it.
This is Ghostly Talk. I am Scott L.
I am Bonnie.
And I am Keith.
Keith, I don't even think I can hear you, Keith. You got to speak.
Ah.
There you go. There you go.
He's using his low, sexy voice tonight.
He's doing a
I'm trying to talk sideways into the mic, and apparently I keep missing.
That guy thought it was hilarious. Two lifelong ghost enthusiasts found PEPPR pepper in May of 2005. They have conducted several investigations over the years, including Bachelor's Grove Cemetery in Illinois, a few hotels in New Orleans, Gettysburg Battlefields, and several private homes with reports of activity. Personal experiences combined with investigation experiences left them thinking that strange happenings do happen to normal people. Not me. But since the expansion of pepper, there has been more work done, more investigations, experiments are being done, and more questions are being asked. With every question that gets an answer, each experiment completed, an investigation conducted, pepper gets one step closer to the understanding of ghosts. Mm-hmm. With that, we'd like to welcome Max Ryan to the show. Their website is www.pepper.org. Welcome to the show, Max. How are you doing tonight?
Doing fine. Great. Thank you for having me on.
Well, it's great to have you on. Like I was saying before we went to the break and before we got you on the phone, I guess we met you or Doug met you initially at the Ghost World Conference. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and he was like, we got to have Max on. And then the night we have him on, he's not here.
I know. That's so typical.
Hey, let me see if we can get him because he's actually on the phone, Max. He's on the road as we speak. I'm going to unmute his line in our conference room and see if he'll come up now. Doug, are you there?
I am here, but I'm still on my
headset. Well, Doug, why don't you say hi to Max?
Well, hi, Max. I'm so glad to have you on Ghostly Talk. I can't even... I'm driving crooked because I'm that excited.
Well, don't get an accident on my account. Great to be here, and thanks, Doug. Thanks for all your help. Thank you, Scott. Nice to meet you, Bonnie.
Nice to meet you, too. I was in Ghost World, but I was drunk the whole time, so you probably didn't meet me.
All right, Doug, I'm putting you back on mute, okay, man?
Thank you.
All right, see you later, dude. Bye-bye. I kind of like having this power over
I
Doug.
I know, it's
nice,
great.
It's nice that it's just like to kind of like...
That's it, you're Doug.
I say the name.
Max, you guys are doing a lot of work, obviously. First of all, I mean, I'm wondering what your mission is as far as an organization. Obviously, the name, Pepper, the Partnership for the Exploration of Paranormal Phenomenon Research, that's a mouthful right there.
That's more than a mouthful.
I tripped over that thing so many times trying to say it this week, I swear to God, Max. What do you guys actually, I mean, it's obviously that you guys are doing ghost hunting, but there's a lot under the name that you guys gave and have given yourself. There's a lot more than just ghost hunting that you guys, it sounds like you guys do. Am I correct?
That's correct. Part of our mission, besides helping people understand what's going on around them, we have a threefold mission: the search for the indisputable proof of the existence of ghosts, an incontrovertible and reproducible way to detect them, and a comprehensive explanation of how they exist and the nature of their composition. The idea is to use the magnifying glass of everyday science that brought you all of the great, wonderful things that we're using today to look into the mysteries behind ghosts and all the mysteries surrounding them.
Well, yeah, and I mean that's what I keep telling people too. And tell me if you agree with me on this or not, Max. But I think I was really impressed, first of all, when I saw this. It said, you know, here's our mission. They have a mission statement, actually. I don't think a lot of groups, like especially a lot of the newer groups out there, really understand. I don't know if they have a scope of what they're actually trying to do. I don't know if it is they know what they're trying to do. And I always tell people, like, you know, I thought that's whatever the original purpose of ghost hunting and stuff like that was to be able to find a way, and you just said it, which I always find very interesting, to be able to find a way scientifically to reproduce these occurrences or actually see them over and over again in a controlled environment. I don't know if a lot of people get that point, though, or not.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of groups go out and don't have an idea other than that to say, yeah, I'm going to capture an EVP or a really cool photograph or maybe some great video. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all love to have that, too, but if you don't start out with a purpose, and I hate to go into the deep scientific side of things because it makes people fall asleep, but a hypothesis. I mean, if you don't go in there and say what you're going to do before you get in there, then your focus is kind of, you know, well, whatever. Mm-hmm. And you end up with evidence that's kind of shaky. And, photographs and EVPs and all that is really good. Unfortunately, if you don't start out and say what you're trying to prove before you get there, all the evidence in the world doesn't support the absence of your goal.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you have to be guided by something, I think. Do what you want, in my opinion, really. I mean, if you just want to have fun and check out some places, that's fine. But, I mean, if you're trying to actually achieve a few goals here, you are going to have to kind of lay out a plan, I think. And that's really important, I think, to people that are trying to produce some type of evidence.
Exactly.
And,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's okay, go ahead.
I was going to say, if I told someone that there was a haunted house, and that if you went in there, you would see a ghost, you'd experience a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And some person might say, okay, well, and they'd go in the house, and they'd look around, and they'd wonder, how am I going to experience the ghost? Did I just experience it? I mean, what am I looking for?
Mm-hmm.
But if I told you when a ghost is present, that your magnetic field will rise to 4 millitesla, the ion count will double from its normal ambient values, or the temperature will drop 4 degrees from every 3 feet you are from the ghost, then if you got those readings, you'd be pretty sure that something else was going on other than your own intuition.
Yeah, exactly. No, and I agree. I mean, there's a lot more to it than just feeling it, I think. I mean, I'm all about the experiences. That's what we were talking about last half hour with Robert, was the experiences, but there scientifically there's a lot more to look at. There's all types of things
exactly.
That you can look to try to understand the environment. I think that's so important too.
I love the experience. You know, I love to have the stuff scared out of me, if you will. You know, I look for those. I'm one of those weird people who just like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the scarier it is, the more I am apt to go in there and face whatever's there, just because it does scare me. You know.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, when I go to write my report at the end, saying that I was scared or saying that I felt something isn't reproducible by anybody who goes in there.
Right.
Well, yeah.
That goes back to our missions, you know, one of our missions, the threefold mission statement about the reproducible method detecting them.
Mm-hmm. No, but if I may ask you this, though, too, Ryan, is because we were just, like I said, we were just talking about this with Robert, and it's kind of cool to get both sides of this thing.
Right.
You know, I am. I support people who want to get evidence 100% all the time,
mm-hmm.
as far as pictures and audio and things like that. But I mean, don't you just want to go out and try to experience something also, though, Max? Do you kind of go outside of your mission and try to go out there and just try to feel something that maybe you can't record, maybe you cannot document?
Oh, absolutely.
I think that's
absolutely.
Go ahead.
That's one of the great parts about it, you know.
Well, yeah, and I think that's where, I mean, a lot of people, I think when they first get into this, this is what we mentioned before, too, a lot of people when they get into this, I mean, they're all about documentation. They
yeah.
want to document, document, document. But I think sometimes it comes down to actually experiencing something, and that really is what put the hook in me, I think.
I was going to say, that's what brings you back, even if you don't record something. You have an experience,
well,
you're
yeah.
probably going to go back.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what it's all about to me, I think.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's what gets you into it to begin mm-hmm. with.
Yep. Well, yeah, I think it's what got a lot of people in. I mean, what got you? What initially got you into this, Max? What was you? Did you have an experience or something?
Oh, sure. I had an experience. I grew up in a house where there was things going on, and there were places in the woods where things happened, and I went to people's houses and heard their stories, and it always intrigued me, and I was always looking for to experience it again. Where is it? Where I want to see it again, you know? I've always been one of the tinkerers in the family, growing up, building stuff, taking apart stuff and finding extra pieces when I was done, putting it back together, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So this is another one of my quests to take apart a mystery mm-hmm. and see how it works. I'd love to be able to prove to those naysayers that everyone in the world who is enjoying the experience of seeing or experiencing ghosts or however that they feel them and see them, that they're not all crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many millions of people over the millions of or thousands of years have experienced ghosts? And how many other people say you're crazy? Now, I don't think everybody's crazy. I want to prove to other people that those people aren't crazy.
Right.
But do you think that in this day and age, like at least over the last 10 years, do you think that the topic, and I always say it like this, the topic has become a lot less taboo? Do you think people are you think it's easier for people to approach other people now and talk about these things as opposed to like 20 years ago?
Maybe. In my profession, it's not. But it all depends on how you kind of approach the subject, I guess. People have their own experiences and their own belief systems, and you got to respect that when you bring up the topic, of mm-hmm. course, but a little more now than it was.
Well, what I mean is, like, if someone has had an experience, I know, I think people still feel that way nowadays, where they do feel like they can't talk to someone because they, like you just said, they're going to think I'm crazy if I say this. I think nowadays, not just in our professional lives, just our daily lives. I mean, just going to one of our friends, even your friends may be judgmental if you give them a story like this. But I think nowadays, I think it's starting to lighten up a little bit myself. With all the media that's out there now, I think people are starting to be a little bit more open to this stuff in general. Just people in general, not people you work with or anything like that. I mean, just people in general.
Mm.
I think so. I think you're right.
Yeah, I think it's much more laid back. You guys are, I'm looking at something here, a multispectral camera suite built into an unmanned ground sensor. I need to hear about this. I hear about this, Max.
Well, you're familiar with regular cameras. The difference between a camera and an imager is generally cameras have a storage capability built in them. Imagers just grab video and put it out in a normal video stream,
mm-hmm.
play it on TV, however, find your own recorder. But some imagers see visible light, some see in IR, and some see in UV. There's the thermal band, which is a narrow section of the IR.
Mm-hmm.
If people tell me that they're using IR cameras to capture ghosts, I always have to ask why. No one's been able to give me a really good explanation as to why they in particular do it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they just assume because everybody's doing it or because it helps them see in the dark. When I say multispectral, I mean UV, visible, IR, thermal. I want to see in all the bands, and I want to be able to say definitively at some point in time which of those bands is the best band to be looking in to see ghostly activity.
Mm-hmm.
So to do that, you kind of have to have, of course, it's best to have, like, your holy grail where you're always going to get activity every day at the same time. If you can find that, great. If not, you're going to have multiple cameras in the same place at the same time so that when you start capturing your activity in that good luck situation,
mm-hmm.
You've got all your cameras there sensing in all the different spectrum. So since I can't be at all those locations, I put a local recording with all those imagers and other things like weather sensors and, you know, 16-bit digital stereo audio recorders and things like that so that all my personal senses are extended in these unmanned ground sensors. And that's a kind of a military term, unmanned ground sensors.
Mm-hmm.
but the idea is to is that basically, excuse the expression, have a ghost man out there that's looking at all different spectrum, looking at the audio, looking at the weather changes, looking at the EM fields in the background, and to find out definitively which spectrum we should be looking in rather than just going with the trend looking in IR.
Well, you're talking about just visually. This is just more for a photo or video type of station. Does this work with audio? I mean, do you have any type of audio setups in this? It's just more or less for videotaping. Am I correct?
We have stereo as well, 16-bit stereo.
Oh, so, okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, you mentioned that. So you are picking up the audio also on top of all that.
Right. So we have weather sensors and EM field recorders as well.
Oh, wow. So this really does kind of capture the whole spectrum then. This
sounds like it.
Because I know I've talked to other people, and there's other people that are working on things like this. I mean, a friend of ours over the summer talked about, and I don't know where it's being sold, but it's like the Ghost Hunters computer or something like that they're trying to sell. Yeah, I mean, believe me, I'm not trying to pimp it either. But, but I mean, from what I understand, it's they call it the Ghost Hunters Lab. For only $2,000, they'll say the Ghost Hunters Lab, right? Mm. Which is like, it's everything put in one, right? And you can buy this thing from wherever, whatever website. I don't even know what it is. I'm not going to even advertise it. But it sounds like kind of you're working on the same thing, but it sounds like this is a much more higher end. Because the one thing I was told about this one I mentioned is that, yeah, sure, it's a Ghost Hunters computer. It has all these cool gadgets attached to it. But the biggest problem they had was that the cables for each one of these sensors, well, you know, for like, you know, audio recording setup, IR sensor, all the gadgets, because I can't remember half of them.
Right.
But they all had only three-foot cables that came off of them, right? Which made zero sense to me. It seems like you'd have to have longer cables for these things to attach to this to the head unit. But they didn't. So it sounds like you guys are actually doing a very the same type of thing, but this sounds like it's a lot better, though, to me.
Well, it's all perspective. You know, some of our audio gear is the world's best, and I say that because it's kind of some of the stuff I work with at my job, the video stuff is what we can afford. You know, buying a UV camera isn't cheap. And actually what we do, instead of having all these pieces of equipment in one, you kind of make strategic choices. You buy a camera that sees in the UV and most of visible.
Mm-hmm.
And then you buy another one that sees in the visible and the IR. Mm-hmm. That way, if you get it in the UV camera, you know that it was in the UV band. If you see it in both cameras, you know it was in the visual band. And if you only see it in the IR, you only get it in the IR camera, you know it was in the IR band.
Uh-huh.
You follow?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that does... I'm sorry, go ahead,
Matt. Reducing a bit, you know?
Well, yeah, and that's... I mean, it sounds like a really great idea. You're also working on a book, too, from what I understand. It's called The Science of Ghost Detection, Taking the Next Step. Is that out? Has that come out? You're still working on this? Or is it out?
I sold a few copies at the Gettysburg Convention.
Oh,
it's available through our website.
Okay, and what does this entail? I mean, what if somebody wants to go pick this book up? I mean, what can they learn from this?
Well, there's a lot of things. The opening chapter is kind of a primer to the scientific method, and being able to understand why we would care, who would want it, who would want to use it, and what the benefits are. The second section is called, I think it's called basic knowledge. It's whatever if you're going to use a piece of equipment, you have to be smarter than your piece of equipment. You have to understand how it works and why it works before you should go out there and employ it, because if you get readings on it, you don't understand what the readings are, what good is it, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The second chapter is basic skills, and it talks about what electricity is, what an EM field is, what's a magnetic field, what's an electric field, you know, all those important things. What's a frequency, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's written from the perspective of the user who's never seen electricity before, never talked about it, doesn't know what a frequency is. It's meant to build off what you know already and help you take the next step into hardening the science of ghost detection.
Yeah. I always tell people when they buy just a simple camera, for example, I don't know one person, I think, when they buy themselves an appliance or device like that, especially a camera, right? Whether it's a cheaper digital camera or a higher end camera, the manual for the camera just seems to just disappear,
mm-hmm.
right? It just seems to just evaporate and go away. And I always say, why don't you read that thing so you know how to use the camera, actually?
Mm-hmm.
So, you don't take washed-out pictures or whatever it may be. I know for a fact I just bought a new camera myself,
right.
And I sat down for an afternoon and actually read the manual and went through and checked all the settings so I understood how my equipment worked. I think that's one of the most important things to go when you go out in the field now is to actually understand your equipment, know how it works.
Exactly.
Like you said, Max, I mean, how do you know what readings you're getting if you don't know how it works, bottom line? So that's really important. I think that's very good to educate people on.
Definitely. It could make you a little crazy when I see people using little devices like an EM field meter on TV or a thermal imager on TV and I guess most of the time I see it is on TV. I can't say I see it too many other places. But they talk about different aspects of a piece of equipment, and I don't know who told them that, but I don't think they fully understand how it works. And if they did, they'd know that there's a lot more information in the imagery they capture
mm-hmm.
or what they capture that is extremely valuable.
No, and that's very important, I think. Definitely people should look into that more. Unfortunately, we're at the top of the hour, though, Max. I want to thank you for coming on the show, though. We really appreciate it. It sounds like you guys are really working, doing a lot of projects over there. Keep it up. It sounds great.
Well, thanks for having me on there. One last thing I'd like to squeeze in, if possible.
Sure, yeah.
I'm trying to get together a kind of forum. I'm trying to get people to come together in person, if they're willing, and sit around a round table and just hash out ideas. You know, if you're a member of a group or you want to join a group or you have an idea or philosophy and you like to discuss it or you're just very interested in different topics and you want to hear what other people have to say.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just interested in how many people are interested in getting together and talking about these things because I think, you know, sharing information is the key to making this field grow.
Absolutely.
Do you want people to contact you directly, Max? Do you have an email or something you want to give out?
Sure. It's on the website, but it's max@pepper.com. That's M-A-X, I'm sorry, pepper.org.
Okay.
It's max@pepper.org.
And definitely check out www.pepper.org, P-E-P-P-R.org. Max, thanks for coming on the show again. Hang on the line. Don't leave us just yet, okay?
Thank you very much.
All right, hang on the line. Don't leave us. Just stay on the line there. We're going to go to break here. Mm-hmm. But coming up.
Yes.
I'm going to screw the pronunciation up again. But
Michelle Bellinger.
Thank you very much. I don't know what's
that
wrong.
That was a team effort there.
I was in stereo.
I'm tired, and I'll blame it on being tired, I guess. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Bonnie.
And I'm Keith.
We'll be right back after this.